Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of The Female Solution's global radio TV show.
We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these voices of enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insights, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, jobs, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code TheFemaleSolution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Greetings, greetings. Can you hear me?
Ah, yes, yes, yes. There you are. Okay.
Here I am. Were you able to hear me before? Because I was doing my intro, and I wasn't sure if you were hearing me or not.
No, I was not, and I was trying to pull you up on the – I was trying to call you up, and our guest is on the line, I believe.
Okay.
And I sent him, I sent him the link, so now he's joined us on StreamYard. So give me a moment. I'm going to run a quick commercial so I can get our StreamYard link set up,
Good, and then I'm going to, I'll do my intro again. This is an interesting time.
All right,
time.
I'm going to have to do your intro again.
Yeah.
All righty, hold just a moment, and we'll be right back. All right, let's see here. Okay, and, all right, let me see. Okay, give me a moment. I'm going to run this and then bring in our guest. Okay, and let me run our intro one more time.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speak. Tuesday, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
All right, we are back, and we've got with us Raymond Good, director,
ooh, welcome,
and
welcome,
author,
Raymond.
Playwright. And we've got our host live from London with us, Jana.
I'm going to do,
take it
I'm
away,
do
Jana.
A little intro, and then I'm going to introduce Raymond. So
fantastic.
Thanks very much for joining us. And, yeah, welcome, everyone, to the Success Strategy Show with me, Jana, on the Female Solution Worldwide Radio and TV Network. I'm the author of Success Strategies for Black People, and I host the annual blogging carnival for nonviolence. And I'm your host for today, and on the first Saturday of every month. And I just want to mention as well that this month, October, is not only Black History Month in Britain, it's also the month of nonviolence held by Black Women for Positive Change. So the blogging carnival for nonviolence is part of the month of nonviolence. Please Google Blogging Carnival for Nonviolence, and you'll see the blog post when they appear. And I know you're going to do one, Naima, because I'm waiting for you for your blog post.
Absolutely.
Here on the Success Strategy Show, every month we seek to help you and support you to find solutions to your problems. We are here to help you make 2022 your best year yet. To speak with my guests, and if you have any questions for my guests or comments, please phone in on 515-605-9325. Then if you'd like to speak, press 1 and you'll join the host queue, which is my queue today. You can also join us on Facebook at The Female Solution and on YouTube at The Female Solution. And also, I forgot to mention, if you're outside of the United States, for the phone number, you have to put 001 first. So it's 001-515-605-9325. October is Black History Month, which I prefer to call African Heritage Month, here in the UK. And I'm joined today by playwright and author Raymond Good. We will also be talking about Black history from a global perspective. It's important to say that October is the official Black History Month / African Heritage Month in the UK. Every month is Black History Month, and companies like London Black History Walks and Black History Studies hold events every month. At Black Cinema Club, we show black films twice a week online. I'm going to talk more about that later. I'm very pleased to welcome my guest today, Raymond Good, who's bringing history to life in his upcoming play,
yeah.
Through
so,
Their
so,
Eyes.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Is that Raymond? Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on your show. Thank you. I'm excited.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're excited. Okay. Well, we're very, very happy to have you here. So rather than me describe the play, why don't you tell us a bit about the play?
So I'm stage director, playwright, author of several books. I have 5 books, Traces of You.
Wonderful.
Traces of You, Road to Oprah. Then I have Through Their Eyes, 350 Goals of a Leader, and then How to Write and Print Your Own Book for Under $300, which I recently sold out of three Through Their Eyes and 350 Goals of a Leader, so that's why I couldn't show it. But, so, Through Their Eyes, which is my stage play, with every newspaper, news story, a story that I heard personally, I put myself in the victim's shoes and I wrote their stories. The book has short, traumatic stories, and they all have critical thinking questions at the end of every story. The stage production that I do is I've taken several of the vignettes out of the book and put it on stage. There's a live band or a performer that performs between each monologue that correlates with the monologue, and then I have a collective of painters from across the U.S. who's painted pictures that correlate with the monologues as well. So it brings the entire experience on stage at one time.
Oh,
wow.
And then my other book, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, tell us a bit about the play. It's called Through Their Eyes. And where did the idea come from?
Yeah, so when I stepped out on faith 12 years ago, I went through my own depression and suicidal state of life. And God showed me vision. And that's why I was revealed and wrote to Oprah is when I quit my 3 jobs at home. I traveled to Chicago to become an author, and it was part of the vision to meet Oprah Winfrey. And I say that I had 0% chance of meeting Oprah Winfrey in Richmond, Virginia, but her studio was in Chicago, Illinois, and I had a 1% chance of meeting her in Chicago, Illinois. So that's where the faith-based part of it came in. You know, if they say if you have the faith of a mustard seed, then it's going to grow tremendously, you know.
Right.
So as I was going through my depression and suicide, and as I was coming out of it, one of my gifts that I learned from that depression suicide is I had the gift of listening to people. So as I traveled across the U.S., like, I never went to anyone to interview. Let me talk to you. Tell me about your most traumatic story. Like, it'd just be someone who'd be just standing beside me, and they go into this in-depth story about what happened to them. And what I come to learn was that, you know, I'm a stranger. So to them, they could release all of their energy on me, and then they can go off. So I started listening to people's stories as I started traveling in the U.S., and I started writing them down and bringing it forth to you in production Through Their Eyes.
Wow.
Okay. So how did you choose the figures? Because some of the figures you've chosen are very well known, such as, for example, Harriet Tubman. So how did you choose who to focus on?
I let God guide me in that form. Like, for instance, my Harriet Tubman one. So I got to thinking about Harriet Tubman. And let's not think about Harriet Tubman of today. Let's think about a young black man or a young black enslaved, and someone knocks on your door, and it's this older lady, and she's saying, follow me through the woods. And at some point in time, she's picking up rocks, she's looking at the moon, she has no map. You know, at some point in time, I'm going to be like, whoa, what's going on? This lady's crazy, you know? So the story was taken from the point of fact of a male slave following Harriet Tubman more than the story of Harriet Tubman.
Right, okay. And what came out of that?
That's why that particular story was chosen, that I chose that story to do, because I put myself in that person's shoes of following Harriet Tubman, all the things that I would think. At some point in time, I would think, oh, I'm going back. This is crazy.
Right, exactly.
Oh, no. Now I might not have spoke up. Now the person to me might have spoke up, but she pulled out that gun, so
you ain't going back, or you gonna die.
Exactly, you're not going back. One way or another, you are not going back to the plantation.
So, So it takes the turn of the male slave following Harriet Tubman, and that's mm-hmm. why he's, quote-unquote, telling his grandkids. The story takes place with him telling his grandkids, and at the mm-hmm. end of the story, he breaks down and cries because his mother and his sister were killed because he made this journey. So it's his story, you know, his story of how he came to freedom. Like, he had became a shoe shine boy. He had worked his way up. He got an education. Like, he had a family. Right. But it was his story of redemption. It was his personal story. So that's why I take it from him.
Right. Okay. That's really interesting. Is this an imaginary character?
I believe that this could be anyone. There is no imaginary character when it comes to Black history.
Right.
Like, this could be any male slave following Harriet Tubman.
Right, right. Because, you know, I only found this out a few years ago. I mean, Harriet Tubman has always been a role model for me and an icon for me because she risked her life over and over again to rescue people from slavery. And some people were more afraid of freedom than they were of slavery, which is why she had to carry the gun, as you mentioned. What
that's
was I going to say?
She got the title of Moses.
Yeah,
Moses,
yeah, exactly.
Moses risked his life, but Harriet Tubman, she repeatedly risked her life.
Yeah, over and over again.
She repeatedly.
19 times she referred to the South.
Mm-hmm.
She returned to the South to help people. But I don't know if you know this, but the first time she ran away with her brothers. And her brothers got scared and ran back to the plantation. So that's why she went back to the plantation the first time.
Look,
wow.
You trying to write my next book. Don't you play with me. Don't be giving me the mouth.
Wow. But her brothers went back? Oh, my. Did
yeah,
she go back?
She went back with them because they went back. That's. I think that's probably where she got the idea to carry a gun next time because she
Ooh.
Knew that there were times when people are going to be too
wow.
scared to follow her.
Thank
and
you.
The only thing
Thank
that's going to...
Over
that's,
in London teaching me something over here in the U.S. Thank you.
We didn't know about that one yet. Thank you, Jana.
Well, you know what? Well,
yeah,
I only
found that out a few years ago. But this is one of the things I'm going to talk about later.
That,
wow.
Hold on, who's going?
Yeah.
Go ahead, go ahead.
I didn't know that Martin Luther King until I saw the movie, that when he got down right at the bridge and he turned back, the first day he turned back and walked away, like they did the march the very next day, so his very first day. See,
yeah.
I didn't know that. That's
yeah.
what I call the Black history that people don't know.
Yeah,
well,
the first day he turned back, yeah.
Well, you see.
Yeah.
The thing is, there's always more to learn, I find. There's always more to learn. And what I want to talk to you about later and ask you about later is, are people in the United States aware of global Black history? Because I think this is an important topic. We need to look at ourselves as Africans, as people of African heritage, and are we really aware of global Black history? And, of course, there's always more to learn. But we'll come back to that later. So tell us about a couple of... Tell us about a couple other characters and how you chose them.
So one of my stories is it's Nazi. I call it. It was titled Nazi Salute, and it takes place of a boy during the Holocaust and seeing
right.
his brother being beaten by Nazis and his friend being killed by Nazis, and the story
mm-hmm.
more or less takes place when he comes to America for the first time with his mother. And in America, he recalls being in the room with the American soldier, and
right.
the American soldier told him to sign some papers, and he told him to do the salute. And the first thing he did was the Nazi salute.
Oh, wow.
Because that's all he knew coming from Germany. Like, that is their salute.
Mm.
And so when the American soldier saw that, he came around the desk. He said, no, you're an American now. This is how you
okay.
do
okay.
So it.
Okay.
So it's not more of the story of what happened in Germany, but it's more of how he felt his first few feelings of being an American.
Right, right.
And
what's that for what?
He introduced me to his grandfather, and his grandfather told me the story, and I wrote it down, and I bring it
right.
forth to the audience through their eyes.
And
wow.
what's this called, Black or white?
He's white. No, he's white. He's white. Yeah, he's white.
He's a white child. A Jewish child?
I'm sorry. He's Jewish.
Yeah, okay, because I don't know if you're aware, but there were Black people in the death camps in the Nazi death camps or
the like
African people.
It's like all across America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but right now I'm just talking about the Nazis in Europe, yeah? There were African people in the death camps, and also the first ever German death camp was in Africa.
Wow.
It was in Africa, in Namibia.
Namibia? Ooh.
Yeah. Have you not heard me talk about this before, Naima?
You know what? I remember one of the guests talked about the death camps in Namibia. Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
the first
German death camp.
Because I think that issue came up when people were upset at Whoopi Goldberg recently when, you know, she got into a conversation. I don't know if you saw that show.
I didn't see the show, but I heard about it, yeah.
Yes, and Whoopi didn't know, you know, I guess that there were black people involved in the whole Nazi situation. And she was saying...
most people don't know that. Most people do not know that. But I think as African people, we need to know that.
Yeah, and also she didn't know that Jewish people, they consider themselves as another racial group. You know, I mean, their skin is light, but they consider, you know, based on heritage, as another racial group. So for them, it was racism,
about
you know,
but
with
you
the
see,
Nazis.
I don't think that they do consider themselves a different racial group now. And I think the Nazis talked about Jews as being a different race, but that doesn't mean that they were. That doesn't mean they were just because the Nazi said that. That was Nazi propaganda. So to me, I agree with what Whoopi said, that the Holocaust was not about race. But what people don't talk about is the fact that in the death camps there were African people. And what people also don't talk about is what was considered the blueprint for what the Nazis did later was what they did in Namibia. They created a death camp. They shipped people there in cattle cars. They worked people to death. They did experiments on people. So it's considered a blueprint for what the Nazis did. And this is way before the Nazis. We're talking about early 20th century. This is way before Hitler. It's way before the Nazis. But it's considered the blueprint for what the Nazis did later. You see,
there was a lot of brutality. And, you know, that's the thing. People kind of don't realize that cruelty happens all over, you know, and people practice cruelty on one group and then they do it on another group.
Yeah.
So I got a question for Raymond when we get ready to go to a break, but I got a question for Raymond when we come back because he's got a number of people who went through traumatic things, like, you know, serious trauma. So I want to find out, you know, were those characters people who shared their trauma and, you know, what era were they from? Like the grandfather who was, you know, back in the World War II days. But so was some of it recent trauma? And, you know, what are some of the things? Yes. So we got to take a quick break.
Healing the trauma is so important. But I just want to put one quick point. Not only does cruelty happen in many, many different places, but racism also happens in many, many different places, and we need to have an awareness about that because, as I said, there's always more to learn. So shall we go to a break?
Yes, and we will be right back. And if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, feel free to write in your comments. And if you're on our switchboard, press 1 so that the host will know you have something to say, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. And we are live from London with Jana, and our guest today is Raymond Good, who is a playwright and author, and you got to see the play coming to ETA Theater October 15th in Chicago, Through Their Eyes. And we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
One more, and then we'll be right back. Hold on just a moment.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesday, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I just want to remind our listeners, if you've got a question or a comment, please phone in to the Success Strategy Show on the Female Solution, and the number is 515-605-9325. And if you're outside of the United States, you need to put 001 in front of that. So 001. 515-605-9325. Then press 1 if you've got something to say. You can also join us on Facebook at The Female Solution and on YouTube at The Female Solution. So, Naima, you had a question for my guest. My guest today is playwright and author Raymond Good, who's the author of Through Their Eyes.
Happy, thank you for having me on the show. Welcome back, everyone. I'm so glad to be on here. I'm so glad that my voice is being heard in London right now.
Yes, it
Come
is.
Come on, y'all.
Yeah, we are too. We're glad
y'all
you joined us.
I'm on the right path.
Absolutely. Yes, and he was showing on our screen here, he was showing some of the books that he's written. The path to Oprah, that was interesting.
So, Traces of You was my first book. Traces of You, I interviewed 50 people with 15 questions and turned their answers to marriage proposal stories.
Mm.
That led me to my second book, Road to Oprah. Road to Oprah is my faith-based journey, which talks about me stepping out on faith and quitting my three jobs and home and traveling here to Chicago, Illinois, to meet Oprah Winfrey and become an author. It details my car breaking down in Indiana, me waking up in a hospital in Pittsburgh, and me living in a self-storage unit here in Chicago, Illinois. We talked briefly on Through Their Eyes, but Through Their Eyes with every newspaper news story, a story that I heard personally. I put myself in the victim's shoes. 350 Goals of a Leader is my fourth book, and that was inspired by my first meeting that I had with Mr. Steve Harvey, who asked me leadership questions that I could answer at the time. He told me, go home, write down 350 goals, and then come back and see him.
Wow.
That's inspiring the book, 350 Goals of a Leader. And then my fifth book is How to Write and Print Your Own Book for Under $300.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Impressive.
Yes.
Wow.
So
now you might, did you have a question for my guest?
Yeah, so my question was, the characters that you developed for the play that had various kinds of trauma, where did you hear their stories from? Was that during your course of writing some of your books? Were those people that you met? How did you meet those people that gave you their trauma stories that you portrayed on?
I tell you my background, a little bit of background on me is I'm QMHP 35, so I'm qualified mental health profession. And my job that I used to work was in-home, group home, day treatment counseling, and I used to do juvenile corrections at a juvenile correctional facilities. So these stories are very rampant in the world that I was already living in because everybody has a story on why they're there. So some of the stories was chosen from them. Some of the stories was chosen from just being on the journey. I mean, look, you could probably go out with your girlfriend somewhere and sit down and then someone just go into a story and they just want you to listen to them sometimes. Sometimes they don't want your empathy. Sometimes they don't even want you to talk. They just want to talk, tell their story, and keep on going with the conversation. So
sometimes people need
these
to talk.
Stories are there. I mean, everybody has a story, so they're prevalent as when they were written as they are relevant today. Because yesterday, someone was molested, someone was raped, somebody was murdered. Like, so their stories, it's just all in how that person interprets their story and want to tell their story.
So now, Jonna, I interviewed a couple of members of the cast, and one particular story was of these crack parents. I guess the character, the child was kind of telling the story about how her parents were just out of it. And that is a common thing, you know, when your parents are on drugs, they're not parenting, they're emotionally absent, you know, and sometimes physically absent. So was that a story from one of your clients or somebody who you just met and they told you about, I raised myself, my parents were, you know, on drugs all the time? I mean, where did that character come from?
that's a really cute story. So I get inspiration from everywhere. And I think everywhere. And you seem to know a little bit of hip hop. Have you ever heard Tupac? Ever heard of Tupac?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard
worldwide?
No.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard? Well, that's why I was knowingly talking to you, Ms. Latif. I think you would.
Oh yeah. I know Tupac. Yeah, we all know Tupac. But yeah.
Have you ever heard Brenda's Got a Baby?
I think I've heard that once. Did you hear that song,
Jana,
Brenda's Got a Baby?
No, I've never heard of that. But to be honest, I'm not really into hip-hop, so I'm not the right person to ask.
It's the story of a female who was molested by her older cousin, who she thought was her boyfriend, because she was too young to realize that, the difference in the relationship between cousins and boyfriend.
Mm.
And she ended up having a child. She put the child in a trash can.
Oh, wow.
But because her baby was crying out to her mother, she eventually ended up saving her baby out of the trash can. And as a regular day story, she ended up selling drugs. She got robbed because she didn't know what she was doing, and she ends up prostituting.
Mm.
and her parents was already on drugs. They didn't see this child as a blessing. They saw it as a paycheck.
Oh wow! Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
the first thing they're thinking is, oh God, you got a child. Oh, now you can go to the service building. Now we can start getting WIC. We can start getting income. We can start getting this, that, and the third. So she had no support system at all.
Mm-hmm.
So as I take stories directly either from the person or from the music that I hear, then that was a story by Tupac, Brenda's Got a Baby, and it was taken directly inspired from that to write that story.
Wow.
Right. One of the, one of the chaps that, an author who I interviewed from my book, Affirmations for Parents, talks about being sexually abused from the age of 7 onwards. And again, nobody protected
her. You know what, and why I say the sympathy and the empathy kind of thing is, those are just some people's story. Like, there is no redemption to it. That's just what happened to them, and they just want to keep on moving about life.
They have
the right as a victim to remain silent about it. They don't have to go telling everybody that they have that right to remain. If they want to hold on to that pain, they have that right to hold on to that pain.
This chap I'm talking about, Samuel P. Holloway III, he's written 3 books about his experience. And I think that's so important because, as you just said, he would have had every right to just keep silent about it. By writing about it, he's helping other people who might be going through something similar. So I think it's tremendous. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to write about that kind of trauma.
Yeah.
You know, he could have just stayed silent.
Some of those stories, they don't end up in a redemption kind of, oh, I found God. No happy ending.
This is what happened.
There's no happy ending. I mean, a female might be on the street prostituting right now, you know?
Wow.
Like, that's just the honesty. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
You're absolutely right about that. So tell me something. Raymond, can you tell me, please, what do you want people to take from the play? What do you want people in the audience to take from the play?
From one, listening skills. I need for everybody to listen to someone else. I want them to have their own I want them to see what the person is on the inside looking out and feel what they feel, so they can have empathy for the next person, so they don't have to be so better than you. My ego is better than you, because that's the only way we can heal, is listening to other people's stories. It's by starting conversation, and not just starting conversation, because we've been conversating forever, but actually getting out there and doing something and helping someone. I have no time to keep starting conversations. The time for action is here.
Right.
And if I need to be a part of that movement of action, then I'm going to be a part of that movement of action. Because when you sit down and you want to talk and have a few drinks and all that kind of stuff, that ain't me, buddy. You want to put down a systematic system how we can help people, then let's do it.
Now, I got another question, Jana.
Go for it.
Because right now we have wars going on and violence going on, and nobody seems to know what to do. So when they see the story, and I think you've got one of your characters that's kind of like a thug type that we talk to. When people see things from the eyes of a person who has, you know, become predatory because that's the only thing they know, because, you know, there's no family, there's no support, what do you hope people will be motivated to do when they see that, or when they hear that person's story and they know we need to change some things in our society? What would you hope they would be motivated to do?
Well, for one, you have to find out why that person is that way before you can even begin any kind of healing. Because that is our brother and our sister out there. So for one, talk to that person. Try to get them the resources that they need. Let them talk. Find out where their skills are at. You know what I'm saying? Find out where their skills are at, and then you allow those skills to, listen to me, if you're out there being predatory, you're out there robbing people, then my biggest thing for people is writing. Write that down in a book. It can streets.
Right.
Try to do it through literature. So you have to find out what that, for one, the reason of why they're doing it. And that has to come with a lot of self-preservation. In my book, Road to Oprah, even before I began this journey, like, I had to look in the mirror and stare in my eyes a lot. And I had to ask those, for one, it was simple questions. Well, why do I sag my pants? Oh, why am I dressing like this today? And then it got more and deeper question is, what is my purpose on planet Earth? What am I here to do? It has to first start with the person at church. But if that person is a person lost is only looking in search of something. People would say all the time, you're running from your calling. You can't run from your calling. You're only running directly towards it.
Okay.
Now, you may have to go through some ups and downs, some lumps and some pains to get to your calling, but you're not running from it. No worry, eventually your calling is going to find you. So if that kid is into skating, or if that kid is into whatever, you got to find that particular skill that's for them. That's for them.
Now, you know, what I've seen a lot of young people who may have musical talent, and they try to become a rapper, and they try to tell that story and talk about their pain. And some of them are very talented. Some of them are very skilled. I mean, vocabulary is out of this world. They can tell a story, make it rhyme, and make it express some real hurt that they've gone through.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a lot of the stories that they tell, we don't want to hear it because, we don't want to know that, you know, maybe they were molested by their father or, you know, thrown out of house by their mother.
Or they killed somebody.
Yeah,
they killed somebody
because they were hungry, didn't have food to eat, or, you know, just angry. And, you know, all this, you know, the stories that they're telling through their creative arts are hurtful stories we don't want
to
hear.
Yeah, they're painful to hear. Right. They're painful to hear, yeah.
Yes.
You're
so what do we do about
that? But that's expression. It's still expression whether you want to hear it or not. And you're still covered under the First Amendment to speak what you want to speak. That's expression. I used to go to, it was a three mass out in Jacksonville, Florida. And they would do this open mic like every Monday night. And I mean, they were real black. They were from Africa and everything.
Real black.
You know, they were
authentic blacks. From Africa.
So literally, you know, they would have people get up there, and you know, you see some people talking, you're like, what the heck is this person talking about? Like, where is he going with this? But they were allowed that person to talk because they was allowing that person to express themselves. And it's better to do it around your people, with your people, than out on the street going crazy, because they're going to look at you like you're crazy on the street. But here, we want you to express yourself.
Raymond, you see, what I found interesting is that what you were saying before is that people want to be listened to. Now, nonviolent communication is about empathy. It's based on empathy. Empathy is at the core of nonviolent communication. And we define empathy as connecting the feelings and needs. So it's about listening. It's not about speaking so much. There's a lot of emphasis on listening. If you really want to connect with somebody else's feelings and needs, you have to listen to them, not just talk to them. You get me?
Yeah. And let them talk. That's how I'm able to connect with so many people. Because I'm gonna tell you now, people will talk in circles. They will talk in circles. But if you let a person talk long enough, they're gonna get directly to the point of what they're trying to say.
Right. But also, you can ask the right questions.
If
the connection is
too specific, then maybe you're not supposed to be the savior to help this person. No worries. There's a billion other people in the world that maybe can reach this person besides you.
No, absolutely.
So Raymond, who do you think
can
reach young people?
From the play?
I'm sorry, what was that, Jana? Jana, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Raymond, what you want people to take from the play is that we need to listen to each other. Yeah, we need to give each other space.
Definitely.
We need to support each other to speak our truth. Yeah?
So,
Excellent.
Raymond, who do you think can speak to young people who are in pain? Would they they see themselves in some of these characters where they feel like, oh, somebody understands what I'm going through, somebody speaking the words I would say if somebody would listen. Would you think
your first question was, who do I think? Oh, it's Raymond Good all the way.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's Raymond Good. I am very confident in that. I know who I am. I know my purpose on planet Earth. They can speak to Raymond Good. They can do it through the books. They can do it through my videos. When they're ready to come on my stage, I put them on my stage. I mean, if your background is robbing people, hey, come rob somebody on stage. Let's put some money in your pocket. Let's give you some promotions. Let's try to turn this into something positive. Raymond Good, through their eyes, they all have critical thinking questions. Through their eyes, it's floating around in juvenile and adult prisons right now.
Wow.
Right, exactly.
It's first and foremost, it's Raymond Good first, and everybody else that come on board, I'm going to shell them out in the places that they need to be. But Raymond Good is going to give you unconditional love. I'm going to be a mirror image to every person that comes to me. You give me love, I'm going to give it right back to you.
Excellent. So is your book circulating through the prisons? Is that what you're saying?
Say that again.
Hello? Is your book through their eyes? Is that circulating through the prisons now?
Is it circulating through the prisons?
Yeah, the
book.
Your
book is through their eyes. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's
excellent.
Good.
That's excellent. And has the play been performed anywhere before?
I've been doing this for I stepped out on stage 13 years, so, and it's been 17 cities and 13 states, and I've met a multitude of people. I have multitude of connections.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's in quite a few places.
So Raymond, if we got you overseas to London, would you need to, I guess, recruit some actors and so forth in London to play those roles? Would you have to do different characters, or would they be able to identify with those characters?
Bring me to London. Bring me to London. Is London ready for Raymond? Because I was behind me, but there's a whole lot of people behind me and supporting me. London ready for Raymond?
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, so tell me something. What do people tell you about the book and about the play? What kind of feedback are you getting from people?
Yeah, what feedback are you getting? When people read the book and see the play, what are their responses they're giving you?
There's a difference. They become very emotional.
Mm.
They become very emotional because
like crying, that
because
sort of
that's
thing?
What through their eyes bring you. It brings you emotion. So they become very emotional. They more or less start telling me about stories that they've been through or what a family member has been through. If you see, if one of the stories is of a child that's been shot and they've seen this on stage, then they tell me how their child was killed. So they become very emotional. And I have to, you know, I take their energy as well because it's healing for them too. So, I mean, it's a world-class production in the manner that I do it in, like it's never been done before. But I'm in talks to do it on a Broadway production level next year in New York. So, but they get free for me. And then I don't have the book with me now, but the book has pictures. Like, I think I have about 12 pictures of these traumatic scenes that people have been through. So, like, if I show someone that book, their eyes might instantly focus on that picture, and they'll break down and cry right there.
Right.
So it's a very emotional, And then that's not all about books. I don't want to just stay in that world. I mean, for instance, Traces of You, I interviewed 50 people with 15 questions and turned their answer to marriage proposal stories. So, you know, that's more my, you know, happier book. So, you know, I don't, you know, you take so many spirits and you put it on you, you know, it can bring you down. So I try to balance that out by writing different styles and different types of books.
Okay.
But response to it.
So people are...
I'm going to need to contact you later, Raymond, because I'd really love you to write a piece for the Blogging Carnival for Nonviolence. We had a couple of very, very strong poems last year about people who've lost someone through violence. And it would be really, really interesting to get your take on that. So I'll be in touch. And I need some information as well. So I will be in touch, definitely.
That would be great, yes. So now, John, I got a question before we take a break. This is Black History Month in the UK, and, you know, a lot of people don't really understand the difference what happened in the UK to Black people and what happened in America to Black people, because we know we had a war that we had to fight in order to end the slave system. And in Britain, slavery ended, but what is still the relationship that Black people have, and what is the racial climate there, and is there a lot of economic disparity still in the UK for Black families?
Well, the short answer to that is yes, and it's getting worse. But there's a lot more I want to talk about to do with global Black history. So I'm glad you brought that up. And after we have a break, I want to start talking about global Black history, and I want to start hearing your input about this, Raymond. So stick with us, please.
All right, global Black history. And, you know, a lot of people who never left the States, they don't know that there are Black people in other places. And there are people in other places that don't know that there are Black people here. When my niece first went to China, and they were saying, well, what part of Africa are you from? And she was like, no, I'm from America. And they were like, we know Black people in America. What? Like, seriously?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? That's to do with the
so
way America
is. She was African because, you know, a little darkness to her skin. They were not aware of vast numbers of Black people in America. So you don't know how the rest of the world even sees us or knows where we are or knows that we are. And a lot of people don't know there's a lot of Black people in London and in England and France and every place else over in the UK. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 so the host knows that you have something to say. Light your number up on our switchboard. And if you're on our switchboard now and have something to say, press 1 so we can open your mic and get your comments. And if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, feel free to write in your comments, and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we're talking today to Raymond Good, playwright, author, and producer of Through Their Eyes, coming to ETA Theater October 15, 2022. That's just in a few weeks. You got to get your tickets. We'll talk about how you can get your tickets. And we want you to go and see a play that's going to bring some tears to your eyes as you see the world through their eyes. So we'll be right back after this quick break, so stick and stay, don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three Black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and, of course, Black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three Black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soul for Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student's needs. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Just share a few thoughts I have about global Black history and then get your thoughts, Raymond. And I just want to mention as well, I've got a Pinterest page called Global Black History. So you look me up on Pinterest. I'm at Jana21, and you'll see all my pages there, including the one called Global Black History. Here in the UK, we've had seemingly endless TV coverage about the life and death of Her Late Majesty Queen Elizabeth II and her coffin, where it was being moved to and from, and who was standing guard on it, and on and on and on. In the wake of the death of the Queen, a lot of people are examining and reevaluating what happened during her reign, including the role of empire. And I've left a few links in the program notes. If you look at the program notes, this link is about my recent post, which is about the legacy of violence of the British Empire. And then there's another one I've left, which is about it's about a film called The First Grader. I don't know if you've seen it, but it links. If you've seen the film, the blog post links a series of blogs I did about the history of Kenya. The First Grader talks about the fact that young people in Kenya for several generations didn't know about what was done to people under the empire. We'll come back to that in a moment. Kenya, when it gained independence, signed a treaty with the British, agreeing not to teach in their schools about what happened during the colonial era. Then this past Thursday, we saw a film with the Black Cinema Club. We watched films online twice a week. We saw a film entitled Something of Value, and it's about the so-called Mau Mau uprising in Kenya in the 1950s, in which thousands of Kenyans were imprisoned, tortured, and killed by the British settlers. I've done a series of blog posts about the Kenyan uprising, which, as I said, I've linked to from my post about the First Grader. Oh, yeah, my blog posts are also about Kenyan history. I posted the link for the film, Something of Value. It's one of the links I put in the program notes. Something of Value starred a young Sidney Poitier in an early role, as well as Ivan Dixon and Rock Hudson. I don't know if you're aware of Ivan Dixon, but apparently he did a lot of good work in cinema in the 60s and 70s. But I remember him most from Hogan's Heroes. So what I'm wondering is this. And you can speak to this if you want, Raymond. I'd be very interested to hear what you have to say. What I'm wondering is, how much do people know about the Kenyan uprising? Many thousands of people were tortured and killed during the uprising. What had been happening since the early 20th century was that many thousands of people were killed so that the settlers could take their land. It's important to remember that this didn't just happen in Kenya. It happened in Nigeria. It happened in Zimbabwe. It happened in South Africa. And many, many other places all over the world. And this is just talking about the British. As I said, as the Queen has just died, some people are evaluating what her role was and what was the role of empire. But it also was done by the Germans, it was done by the French, it was done by the Portuguese, it was done by the Belgians. There was horrendous, horrendous loss of life of African people. So here's my question. Are African-American people aware of this history? So can I have your thoughts about that, please, Raymond?
Are they aware about that history?
Yeah, all of the history between the British Empire and all of the brutality of the colonial period, the killings, the
I would like to.
They don't teach that in our schools, like you said.
And the only person that I know that is very, very aware of all of that and constantly talks about it is Minister Muhammad, Farrakhan.
Okay.
Farrakhan, he's very aware of what's going on globally. And he teaches his students he keeps them very well informed. So, I mean, is the black community as a whole in the United States? I would say no, but the people that are informed on it, they speak on it.
Yeah, you know, Jana, when you mentioned the film, I remember seeing that film with Sidney Poitier. Because I remember, you know, how, I mean, he was able to do, like, the East African accent, because that's what you do as an actor. And I remember seeing that film. It was definitely, it would touch some emotions in you. And also recently, after the death of the king, Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. made some remarks about how that empire was connected to the blood of Africa and so many places where, you know, all their artifacts and everything. And, you know, talking about the crown on her head, the diamonds came from, I think you said Kenya, you know, and you know, all of the brutality that is connected to that we don't learn about in our schools at all.
I certainly didn't when I was in school.
If
you remember.
Right.
You know, you remember when brother
I hear about Rwanda, you know, you hear about things happening, but you're not in tune to it until they put it in the movie. Jose Rwanda, like, oh no. Yeah. That was going on. That was going on long before that movie, but
Exactly. So that's what I want to get your thoughts about, that because we definitely were not taught this history, and it's part of our history as African people. The exact same tactics that they used against the so-called Indians, the American Indians, they used the exact same tactics in Africa against African people. And this is something that we don't get taught. But I believe that knowledge is power, so we need to know this, although it's very disturbing. It's very, very disturbing. But we need to know this. That's my opinion.
Like Raymond was saying, we don't find out about things until some creative writer tells a story and makes it in the area of entertainment, either on stage or on screen. And then we go, oh, that happened? Oh, yeah, this is based on real history. But we don't even know about the people, and we don't really even identify with them because of our separation. So even though now you have a lot of people who are doing DNA tests and they can find out what part of Africa they came from, but still it's so many generations removed, we don't always get emotional about what happened unless we see a movie. Like, I don't know if either of you have seen the movie The Woman King.
Yeah, I'm about to see it next week.
And we've been having some conversations about it because, you know, the question was, okay, were they fighting because of the, you know, fighting against enslavement by the British or the American people, or were they already in battle among themselves and the enslavers just took advantage of the conflict to buy some people to take overseas and use for forced labor? So that's the question. Right. What were we doing in Africa that weakened us and made us vulnerable for people to exploit and take away and misuse for forced labor? So even when we look at the global African history, and like you say, the Germans and the Irish and, you know, the French, all the people who benefited. But one of the things I'm looking at is, what were we doing? If we're going to look at African history, we have to acknowledge that we did some things that got ourselves into this mess. You know, we did this because we were fighting.
I have a theory, and it's a theory that's always been in my mind, because we always use the term, or we always say, you know, our ancestors, they sold us into slavery. Which, hey, if that's what happened, then of course. But the way I see it is that in one swoop, they made money to re-strengthen Africa, and they birthed the shores of America with African-American people. And it even says in the Bible that the chosen ones would be lost for 400 years. We are in our 403rd year of being in America, and I see more black millionaires. I see more black people doing. I see a black president up here. We are awakened. We are awoke. We're past that 400 mark right there. I am very proud of the progression that we have made as black people here in America. And I don't just say that because I say it. I say it because I'm traveling to all of these cities and states. I say it because I'm in San Antonio at the largest Martin Luther King parade. I say it because I'm here in Chicago at the Bud Billiken parade, and I see how we all come up together. We're just in different states doing it, but we're uniting. We're doing what the ancestors saw in their vision as they stood from the shores and watched us go away on those slave ships. We're doing it. There's more black power and black pride is going on here in America, and once we get it straight in America, we come in globally, baby.
I can see that. You know, and I think that's the difference, too. Well, Jana, one of the things that I've seen is a different attitude when people do go abroad, and they do have that global view. Because, I mean, we can look at it either way. We look at, oh, woe is us. They took us. They enslaved us. Oh, we were poor and oppressed. Or we can see, like Raymond was saying, you got these millionaires, you got people that are leading nations, you have people who are developing new scientific inventions, and you have all of these black people doing all of this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were spread abroad in a lot of ways through the slave experience. A lot of us had already been traveling abroad before the slave experience, which is something else we're not learning in our schools. But we are excelling globally. So I guess my question to both of you all is that being taught in our schools? Are we seeing
I think that's a good question. That's an excellent question. But, you know, to me, being a millionaire is not exactly what we need it to be doing as a people. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with making money at all, but I think it's like what tends to happen, in my opinion, is that a few people are able to slip through, and that's great for them. But that's not necessarily benefiting our communities. When we look at things like, for example, how many black care places have you seen that are actually owned by black people, right? People of African heritage. And we have the same problem on both sides of the Atlantic. So that's my perspective. I very much am a global African. I care about what happens on both sides of the Atlantic because this is my community, the global African community. So is that really helping people? For few people becoming millionaires, that's great. That's great for them. But what about for the overall community? What is actually, you know, are we actually improving? Because it tends to be that we tend to be at the top of the list for everything bad and the bottom of the list for everything positive. Anyway, sorry, what are your thoughts?
When we become millionaires, when a black person become millionaires, they help others in their group. They put someone through school. It's not like they're just doing it for themselves. Oh, I made a millionaire, and then let me just, you know, crap on everybody else. But they're putting someone else through school. They're taking care of their family. They're doing the embeddement of their family. And that causes them to get together. So I don't see all of it as just a personal, I made it, let me know. No, I believe black people truly do to each one reach one, and whether that's sending a cousin off, let me pay for your entire tuition so you can go to school, so when your children come up, they can go to school. Like, they're creating generations.
Yeah, I think a lot of time that doesn't get the attention.
That's good to hear.
I mean, when we see a Tyler Perry or an Oprah Winfrey, and yes, they're you know making mega millions, but they also they're employing a lot of people.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Every production, you look at all the different people who are now working, so they can pay their bills. So like you can say they can send their children to school, so they can start businesses, so they can you know buy the things that they need to make life better for themselves. They can invest in the future of their families and communities.
And then it's like, you know, the Bible say, never let your, if I'm not mistaken, never let your left hand see what your right hand doeth.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know some of these black millionaires who's putting money
right.
and donating money to Tuskegee Airmen, to Spelman
right.
College, because
right.
they don't have to jump on TV and tell you.
Right.
You see these schools
yeah.
just thriving and striving. You know, they don't, you know, they do it anonymously. They do it
yeah.
from the heart where it's supposed to be, you know?
Yeah.
You got Akon, if not Akon in Africa, who's starting a whole compound, who's putting millions of dollars so his own people can, like, you know, black people are on it.
Yeah, there's a lot happening that we don't hear about. I mean, and what's his name that starred in Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman. Now, nobody knew the story of how he actually got through school from a grant paid for by Denzel Washington. Because Felicia Rashad asked, you know, some prominent actors, would they help in financing the school for some talented black actors and actresses that didn't have the money. So a lot of people, they don't know that there's a whole network of people that are doing things because they don't announce it, you know,
right.
But it's being done. And people are making a difference. Now, I don't know, would it be helpful if we knew more? Well, I don't know if it would or not, because sometimes people don't want to know that they give money because then everybody's begging, and everybody's begging is not ready to do something positive if you gave it to them.
Yeah.
I mean, you can give $500 to the crack addict that's laying on the ground, and they got $500 to buy more crack. So if a person's not mentally ready to do good with the blessing that you give them, then it's not a blessing when you give it to them. It's just a curse that they continue because they're already cursing themselves based on their own mindset.
Right.
So you have to look at the people who are doing, the people who are suffering, the people who are like some of Raymond's characters, you know, folks that's neglecting their children. Okay, the child is born and they look at it, we can get welfare off the baby, but we're so busy getting high, we don't care about our children. You have people like that. And whose fault is it that they are there? If you gave them money, they would blow it. So, you know, people are suffering. They have to look at what am I doing that created this problem. Just like when I look at the global situation of African people, and you look at people who chose to be in conflict, chose to be in battle, chose to sell each other in slavery, and a lot of that is addressed even in the movie The Woman King. Okay, you people, you're selling each other into slavery. You're engaged in warfare. You've weakened the nation by doing this. So someone else comes in and takes you away. Is it their fault that you put yourself in that position? So I think we always have to take responsibility for the condition we created that we're now in. And even these neighborhoods that are torn up and decrepit, people are choosing to do what they're doing that keeps them from ascending. And we at this point, after 400 years, we can't keep blaming white folks for this. We cannot. We've been here long enough to make it. Like Raymond was saying, you know, we got all these people. We got some folks, millionaires, building housing complexes, building major businesses. We've been here long enough to excel. If we have not excelled after these generations, we've got to look at it. What are we not doing that we should have been doing that would have got ourselves out of this situation? And I think at this point, we can't blame anybody else after this.
We're moving.
Yeah.
There's a lot
of things to blame white people for that
they've
done.
And I do want to thank this person, Vieta Robinson.
Yeah, Vieta.
A thousand-year ignorance coming to an end. We are building a better planet.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Vieta joined us on Facebook here with that comment. Yes, thank you, Vieta. And that that really is the case. I mean, we've been ignorant for a long time, and the slave experience, and I don't know how they teach about, I don't know, John, if they teach any pre-slavery history about African people, but there's a whole lot that was going on before the Europeans got to the continent.
Oh, no, absolutely. There was, you know, also
good
the
and bad.
Yeah, that's very true, but also the Europeans have done a lot of things that are just beyond despicable. When you start learning the detail, I mean, I knew about colonization, or I thought I knew about it, until I moved to this country, because what happened, from what I understand, this is what people have told me, is that when people saw roots, when they started getting upset, and that's what caused the riots. Now, I'm sure there's many things that caused the riots. It wasn't just that. I'm talking about the big riots back in 1981. I'm sure there's many things that caused the riots. It wasn't just down to roots. But, you know, the thing is that there's a lot of people in this country, a lot of black people in this country, had no idea about what had really happened in slavery until they saw roots. And that's because it wasn't taught. It wasn't taught in schools. The parents didn't tell them. You know, I think parents have to do a lot of educating when it comes to black history, because we can't just leave it to the school. But yeah, there was a lot of badness that was done by African people to each other, and the Dahomeans were heavily, heavily involved with the slave trade, from what I'm told. But also, the Europeans then came along and took advantage of the situation, and some of the things that they did are just really beyond belief. When you start learning the details of what they actually did to people, it will change you. It will change you. It'll change the whole way you see things. Because, you know, the things that they did, the amount of cruelty that they inflicted, and the way that they did it, and just the fact that it was just about grabbing land, the same exact methods that the Europeans used in Africa were the same exact methods that were used against the American Indians, or native people, indigenous people, whatever you want to call them. The same exact methods that had been used to steal people's land, you know, basically kill people off, steal their land and lie about it. Those are the same tactics that the Europeans use in Africa. And we need to know that. I think we need to know that. And having said all that, I completely agree, Naima, there was badness that was happening before the Europeans ever came. The Europeans, when they first came to Africa, they did not come to enslave and they did not come to oppress. They came to trade. And it was only later that they started enslaving people, probably because the Arabs were doing it, and they realized this was a very lucrative source of income. And because of colonizing the Americas and the Caribbean, and they knew they needed slave labor. But we'd been enslaving each other for generations before that.
Yeah. So now I'd like to throw a thought out there. Because like you mentioned, you know, there was all these horrible things that were done in Namibia that the Germans did, and then of course when the rise of Hitler and the Nazis came, they did these cruel things to other people who had white skin like them, just happened to be of another religion. So the cruelty that we see among the human family, is it race-based, or is it a spiritual illness that certain people learn in their society? Because everything that whites did to blacks, they had also done to other whites. And everything that we have experienced from whites, we also experienced from ourselves. So is it really a black and white issue, or is it a human issue where people will take advantage of an opportunity to mistreat someone for the sake of greed? And the reason why I ask that is because, as you say, the lucrative slave trade, Arabs were in it. Arabs were also very warring people that were brutal to their own people. Europeans were in it. Europeans were also very brutal to their own people. So
that's very, very true. Yeah, very true. And but they're particularly brutal to women. The Arabs were particularly brutal to women, and they still are.
Yes, and still are. So, you know, and one thing, and I guess, you know, part of, I heard a little bit of the dialogue from the character in Raymond's play, Through Their Eyes, the one who's, you know, went through the Nazi experience. And, you know, we've had these discussions because, you know, when black people start talking about slavery and then not, you know, people who survived the death camps talk about their situation, we're like, oh, but see, but your oppression was nothing because the ours was worse. And I'm always wondering, is there any better or worse oppression? You know, being killed and tortured is being killed and tortured. So,
well, I agree with that in principle, but I also do think there are certain things that happened historically, and sometimes we tend to gloss over those and say, oh, it happened to everybody, it happened to everybody. But it was not the same for everybody. I mean, the Nazis, we know they did horrendous things to people, but it wasn't the same for every group of people. And this is the thing about black history that you have to understand, I think. This is my opinion. I think you have to understand that there are things that African people were put through that other races were never put through. And I'm not trying to say, oh, therefore we're more oppressed than them, you know, we're holier than thou or anything like that. It's not a competition, but if you look at where people's African heritage are now, I mean, I'm not talking about the ones who are super successful, but, the you know, black people are always at the top of the list for everything bad, like physical illness, mental illness, criminality, poverty, incarceration, and we're always at the bottom of the list for good things like good health and wealth accumulation, education, those kind of things. We're always at the bottom of the list for all the good things, and there's reasons for that, and the reasons are historical. It's not to do with what's going on now. Those are historical reasons anyway. That's
who's making that list? Who's making that list? I see too much positivity. As long as we keep putting negative verbiage in our mouths about black people, then it's always going to be there. I see more black vegans who are taking care of their bodies, and they don't care about that list.
That's good, but when I talk to people like Viada and Zelda about black health, not just Viada and Zelda, but I'm giving those people as examples because they're part of our sisterhood of the mic. You know, they tell me, practitioners tell me, oh, black people don't look after themselves. Black people don't care about their health. When I first heard this, I was really shocked, but I've heard it so many times now that we don't care about ourselves. And all of that, if it's true, all of that is to do with our programming, our conditioning. It's, you know, it's like, you know, The guy who invented Negro History Week, what's his name again?
Carter G. Woodson.
Carter G. Woodson. Yeah, he said that once white people have brainwashed you, they don't have to do anything else to you. You know, we
right.
I don't think we should let people off the hook.
The back door, if there's no back door, the black man will go find that back door just because he's been taught that way. You're absolutely right.
Exactly. That's just why I don't think we should let white people off the hook. Yes, I agree with you. We did a lot of bad things.
Is it really their responsibility to fix what's broken inside of us?
Yeah, we let them off the hook. We don't care about them anymore. No. That ain't the problem.
Okay.
We're not asking for your help. We're just asking you to move over. We ain't going straight to you.
No.
Once you took your foot off, once they took their foot off of our black necks, we rose up. But they had to take it off so they could move, and we had to stand up to them. We're just asking to move over. We got our own black museums. We got our own black radio station. I'm in London, UK. Are you kidding me? They can't stop that.
That's right.
Beautiful queens. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We are taking charge 100%. Even their words right now. I mean, my God, we let white people say the N word. Oh, just get out of our way. We're just going to move right past you because that can't even affect us no more because our skin is tough. We have to survive everything that you've thrown of us. And you can break our bodies, but you can't break our spirit because at the end of the
no,
day,
absolutely.
We gotta take one last break, but one question that I'd like to ask when we come back is, how responsible are whites to do something different in order to change this situation? Or is the responsibility 100% ours?
I don't think we're telling anybody else but ourselves, but we'll talk about that more after the break, yeah?
All right. Well, we will be right back after this quick break. So we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. And we're going to make sure that you know how to, you can go online and get your tickets for Through Their Eyes.
GPA Theater, October 15th, 30-person cast. So, VIP?
Yes, you got to be there. All right, we'll be right back after this last break. So stay with us. All righty.
Oh, go, go, go.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
We're back. Okay. So, I mean, the answer to your question, Naima, in my opinion, is that it's both. It's both a racial issue and a global issue. Race is just one of the many things that people use to oppress each other. I don't know. What do you think?
Yes. We got a comment from Cheryl Jones from HWPL. She says, I think it's definitely a spiritual illness. Just my two cents. That's what she says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I tend to think of it that way. I mean, people have used different reasons why they've oppressed people, but everybody on the earth has experienced somebody's brutality, and a lot of times it was for some little minuscule reasons. I mean, I went to the Holocaust Museum in South Korea, and they were showing all the history of when the Chinese had oppressed them and the Japanese had oppressed them.
Oh, my
them.
God, the things that the Chinese did to people, it's just really shocking. And the things that the Japanese did to the Chinese were also really, really shocking. I completely agree with you. And then when you look at what the Chinese did to people when they invaded Tibet, and that's still going on now. I mean, it's horrendous. I mean, I agree with you that it's a universal, but I also think as black people, we're always being told, sit down, shut up, you don't have a problem anymore, right? The problems are in the past, we don't have any problems anymore. And this, it's just not true. And if we really want to know why our community is, so to speak, I would use the word dysfunctional probably, if we really want to know why, we have to keep looking at history. And a lot of times we don't even know our history. We don't even know what happened, what was done to us.
I think we didn't learn from our history. And I agree with Cheryl that it is a spiritual illness, because what we were what we should have learned from what happened is that you must be in harmony, you must unify, you must work together, you must cooperate in order to
agree.
And when you don't do that,
agree, but we haven't learned that
and
yet,
this is what happens to you, then other people can come and take advantage of your disunity. Other people can and take away your children. Other people can define who you are. When you fight each other, you lose everything you have. That's what we should have learned from our history. So as long as we're upset at what people did and not looking at what we did that made it possible, we're never going to learn the lesson that we should have learned from the things we did that got us in this position.
Yeah, I agree. And I was at the embassy earlier this week applying for a new passport, because I haven't had a new passport in ages, and I need one. And there's this beautiful, beautiful quote. I'm sorry to say I can't say it word for word. I need to find it. But there's this beautiful quote from Martin Luther King, and it's embedded in the floor. And it says pretty much exactly what you just said, that sooner or later, as human beings, we're going to have to learn to live together and live together in harmony and build the kind of world together that we want to live in harmony. That's not the exact words, but it was just so beautiful, and it's embedded in the floor. So you can't actually walk past that part of the embassy without seeing it.
Yeah. I mean, I look at the times that we have triumphed, you know, like Raymond's talking about a lot of the great things that have happened, the times that we failed have been the times that we worked together. Even you look at the periods of time, whether it was the Harlem Renaissance or the Civil Rights Movement, whatever it was, it was a time when our artists were in harmony with a political philosophy, that we were going to strive toward empowerment. And so the music that they put together was all reflecting that theme. And then you had every other industry also in harmony, whether it was the hair care industry showing how beautiful your natural hair is, the clothing industry showing, you know, cultural expression. Everything that we did was reflecting one thought, and that is our greatness, our beauty as a people, and our power as a people. So when everybody was on that same vibe, everybody was unified, then we saw progress. Now, when we got divided, when people started getting, whether it was greedy or just lacking in consciousness. Now you got the artists that are out here talking about how to dog out a woman and use her, and then you have the politicians that are selling people out, and they're taking deals under the table and letting their communities go to pot, and then you have everybody operating separately, just like we did in our kingdoms in Africa. Everybody fight for themselves. I'll sell off my neighbor and do this so that I can have, and I don't care if you're struggling. We didn't learn. We didn't learn that when you do this, you lose everything. And so we are losing everything. So if you say we're at the bottom of everything, we did this. We cannot blame white people. We didn't learn the lesson that you cannot mistreat others without it coming back to yourself.
No,
and so
true.
We're
experiencing
our choices.
But we also need to know the historical reasons, because we're still, a lot of us are still stuck in that situation. And a lot of us, you know, I mean, the whites have done a lot of things. Europeans have done a lot of things to oppress us. Yes, we also oppress each other. I'm not denying that at all, because that happened. But also, there were times when, as you just said, we lived in peace and harmony together. And we've been, a lot of us have been brainwashed. It's not even that we didn't learn the lessons, right? We haven't been given the opportunity to learn the lessons, because some of us in our communities are still so brainwashed. And it's important to remember that in order to understand why we are in where we are in the world today. We need to have that knowledge from history. We need to learn from history and that knowledge of, you know, how we got to this state and also how we can get out of it.
So who's responsible for teaching that lesson? Is it, do we depend on our creative artists to tell the story? You know, do we write the plays that give people a vision of how the world can be, or at least tell the story of what happened so that we can understand how we're in that situation? Who is responsible for changing the thought? Does it come from the creative community? I mean, like Raymond was saying, a lot of these things in history we didn't even know happened until somebody put it on film. And then we're like, oh, that happened. It's not going to come from the schools, because the schools are controlled by other people who don't want us to know. So who's going to tell our story if we don't tell it? Who's going to teach us if we don't teach us? And who's going to change us if we don't change?
Well, nobody can change this but us. And, yes, I personally think the creative community has a lot to offer. So do teachers, so do doctors, so do therapists. You know, probably the most important teachers are the parents. Because I believe if you teach children in the home about black history, then that lesson will stay with them forever. That's what happened with me. My mom taught me from a very early age certain things, and that formed the basis, a starting point to step off from and keep learning more and more, because there's always more to learn. What are your thoughts, Raymond? What are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, what are your thoughts about the fact that if the parents taught their children in the home, then the children would understand, they'd have a better understanding and maybe a better sense of what their purpose is if they were taught in the home.
And what role do you think the community?
I agree. I'll tell you something I heard you say that was so beautiful that just stuck out of my mind. Did you say the other day you went and got your passport?
Yeah, I went to the embassy, to apply for my passport.
You went to the embassy, and on the floor in the embassy was an inscription from Martin Luther King.
That's right.
If black people ain't winning, I don't even know there's an example, right? We are on the floor in the embassy in London. I didn't know that. We're winning.
No, I didn't either until I went there.
That's popular. That's powerful, yeah.
you're absolutely right. I agree with you. If the parents were doing more in the household, some people just going to fall by the wayside of life, and that's what any religion, any race. Some people just go fall by the wayside of life, or maybe it's just not their time. Maybe their offsprings will be the one that will carry that torch, and maybe they're just here to get the offspring here. So, it's a lot of things that we can work on, but I am definitely proud of the things that we have done and the accomplishments that we have made.
Now, I got a question.
We should be proud.
Absolutely. So now I have a question about what do we do, and are we responsible for the children of, say, those drug-addicted parents like the ones in Raymond's play, and there's a whole lot of them, and their children are the ones out here wreaking havoc because they don't have a home environment where they learn things. Who's responsible for those children coming from those dysfunctional families and having no sense of pride, self-respect, or anything? who's responsible? Mm. Is the government? Are we responsible? Who's supposed to help them not become the destructive force they have become because they were not properly parented in the home?
Can I go?
Yes.
Well, oh, definitely. You go.
Proverbs says, each village, each one teach one. Every villager needs to have their hand on someone. So if that mom or dad is failing as a parent, then the neighbors need to reach out and help out.
Mm.
We are our own village. That's an African proverb right there.
Yeah.
If someone goes
takes
down, then
village
we
to
pick
raise
up
a child.
Black.
Yep, that's true. Takes a village to raise a child. So Jana, do you see the struggling Black communities there in the UK? Do you see people who are willing to reach out to those who are at the bottom, the ones who got the drug problems, the ones who were impoverished, the ones who had the children out of wedlock that, you know, the 13-year-old mother threw in the garbage because she didn't know how to be a mother? I mean, do you see neighbors stepping up to help people like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There are individuals and there are institutions. There's the churches. There's a lot of people reaching out. I mean, it's not the same in the States in the sense that, like, for example, most drug-addicted people, I don't know if we really even have a crack problem in this country. I think we must do somewhere. But they're not necessarily mostly Black people. Most heroin addicts are not Black people in this country that I've seen. They're mostly white people. So,
okay.
It doesn't affect our communities in the same way. But we have other problems, you know. We have other serious problems. You know, I've talked about the discrepancies, the racial and gender discrepancies within the health service. And this is, you know, I mean, it's happening on both sides of the Atlantic. But we need to be aware of this because, the number of deaths in childhood, four times as many among Black communities.
And I tell you, in the ghettos of America, I mean, that's a village right there. Because when you see someone next door to you going through the same problems that you go through, when you go and knock on your next door neighbor and say, can I have some sugar? You know what I'm saying? Your next door neighbor know what you're going through, so they're going to give you sugar. It's more in the more richer, affluent Black neighborhoods that you don't have rich people going to another rich person house and saying, hey, can I have this? So you see that village in the ghetto communities of people taking care of each other. I learned this from talking to people, that the UK is very in tune with what's going on in America. And they are very open to what's going on in America. And that's not just from Black people, that's from artists and stars. Because even an artist, let's say like Howling Wolf or Muddy Waters, they can make little to no money here, but they go to London and they're praised.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of
right.
London. Yeah.
There's a band here out of San Antonio. They go to London all the time to play. They play a lot of alternative music. And the good part, he said, I love going over there because when I go over there, the people in London, the people from there, they know each band member. They know who the drummer is. They know who the guitar is. If you got a full band,
right.
They know the lead singer. But we don't know the background on the guitars, where he come from, what he do. But when they go to London, they're treated as superstars when they go to London.
Right.
London's more in tune to what's going on in the U.S. than U.S. is in tune with what's going on in London.
That's true. And a lot of stars, especially like in the 50s and 60s, they loved going abroad because there was not the intensity of racism there
as it was here.
And I mean, I know there's racism, but the way it was here was this bone-crushing, whereas there they could really be appreciated for being the artists that they were.
They were treated like celebrities.
Here you're being told to go to the back door, and you can't stay at the hotel and all of that.
But,
so they didn't have that experience when they performed
in London. If you came from the States, then you were seen as exotic, so that's part of it. wasn't just that there was less racism. You were seen as exotic, so you're treated as special because you're seen as exotic, whereas in the States,
you come
you're just
America.
An ordinary colored person. Right? So people didn't revere the artists and the performers as much. Yeah, so because people who came over here to live in the 1950s, those people went through hell. They went through hell. Some of them were living in the tube in London because they couldn't find anywhere to live. Because white people wouldn't rent to them.
Wow.
And see,
so
yeah,
still there.
Wow. And the thing is, a lot of times people didn't write back home and tell people that. So people would come over here. It's still like that now, but it's less so now. People are starting to understand that there's racism here. But for a long time, the people who came over here from the 50s onwards, they called them the Windrush generation. They didn't write back home and tell people what it was really like. So people came here expecting the roads to be paved with gold.
And they weren't.
And that went on for a long time. That went on for decades. And people thought Britain was so wonderful.
Yeah, I think we're always trying to find some place where we can go and be treated like a human being.
That's
says on Facebook, we got a Facebook comment. Cheryl says, I agree with what you said earlier, Sister Naima. That's why there needs to be spiritual healing. We all play a part in changing. Having a positive and balanced mindset is everything. Peace education is needed to help raise our own village. And she's right. She's talking about a program that's being spread across the world and coming out of South Korea by Chairman Man-Hee Lee called Peace Education. And we'll be teaching it on our online school, New Earth Homeschool Academy, we'll be launching that very soon on the platform Teach. I think one of the things is that we start our own education. We start our own schools, and now the pandemic has shown us we can take responsibility for what our children learn because we can have the schools, just like we can take responsibility for what we project in terms of our artists, our creative arts, our storytelling, whether it's a stage play or a movie. We can teach what we want our children to know. We now have the power to do that. I agree. We are winning because we have the power to tell whatever we want our story to be. And
right.
I think that recognizing our power is now what we have to do and realize other people are not as powerful as we keep making them be. And we're giving them more credit than they deserve. They don't have the right to – they can't stop people from speaking anymore. They can't stop you from thinking. They can't stop you from learning. Learning, I mean, education, knowledge is widely available on the Internet now. So even if they say, well, no, we're not going to give you a grant to go to college – well, you know, I can go on YouTube and learn pretty much almost everything
right.
I know now. I ain't gonna pay nobody. So
I tell you, so many people that throw this term out there because they want to discuss the term white privilege. White privilege. You keep giving power to that term. My goodness, you give them that kind of power.
Right. They don't really have the power we're giving them at this point. I think. I mean, this is what I believe, Jana. I think the disparities that we see. We have the power to get rid of. We have the ability to organize our communities so that they are not at the bottom of the economic ladder. It's all the things we need, we already have. We're just not realizing it. And those who do realize it, they do become the Oprahs. They do become the Tyler Perry. They do become the multimillionaires and the philanthropists and so forth and the Willie Williams. I mean, Dr. Willie Wilson is giving away money hand over fist, just giving it away because he's got it, because he's got an international business. And people are mad because, you know, he's doing this, but they can't do it because they're stuck on with white folks won't let us. But he ain't stuck there. That's why he's rich, because he believes that he can.
Sure. No, white people can't stop us, but we have to recognize our own power.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we're about to go in. We got about a few more minutes. So, last, before we go, I want to make sure Raymond, tell us where they can go. What's the website so we can put on the screen that people can go to order tickets and to attend through their eyes?
You can go to my page, Raymond Goode, that's Facebook, and you can go to hitusaradio.com. The tickets are being sold on there for Eventbrite. Through their eyes, October 15th, the showcase begins at 7 a.m. The actual stage play begins at 8. I'm sorry. The show begins at 7 p.m. and then the actual stage play begins at 8 p.m. And, yeah, the tickets are $25 beforehand and $35 at the door.
Okay, and that website again is Raymond Good.
No, the website is hitusaradio.com.
Oh, hitusaradio.com, and that's where you can get tickets?
Yes.
hitusaradio.com.
hitusaradio.com.
Okay. hitusaradio.com. No, hitusaradio.com. Wait a minute.
hitusaradio.com.
Okay, wait a minute. Make sure I got it right, because I'm going to put it on the screen. Get tickets at
hitusaradio.com.
At hitusaradio.com.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's www.hitradiousa.com? Or
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, well, let me just make sure I put it up there. Okay. Get tickets.
Okay, so I wish you all the best.
hitusaradio.com.
I wish you all the best.
Right. Yes, we certainly do thank you so much for being on. Get tickets at hitusaradio.com. And if you
want to find me, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook at Raymond Good. That's for both. And I look forward to talking to you more, Donna, later on. I am so happy that you have me on your show. So blessed. I am. Thank you for the opportunity.
We're very blessed to have you. Thank you very much for being my guest. And, yes, I will be in touch.
All right.
She got her passport now so she can come and see it.
And I need a passport so I can come to London.
All right now.
Yeah,
y'all be
cool.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much. All right.
Thank you to all my listeners, and thank you to Naima, my executive producer. And I wish everybody a great month, and please check out the blogging carnival for nonviolence.
And give me the website for the blogging carnival, Jana.
If you Google the blogging carnival for nonviolence, you will find it. And we're also on Facebook, the blogging carnival for nonviolence.
So it's called the blogging carnival for nonviolence. Now, can they send, is it written or is it video or both?
It can be written, it can be audio, it can be video. We've had people submit poems. It needs to be about your personal experience of violence or nonviolence or peace or empathy. And the emphasis is on empathy. So I'm looking forward to receiving lots of blog posts, and we'll be posting them this month, October, which is the month of nonviolence. So thank you, everybody, for listening.
And we will
see
you
next month,
first Saturday of the month, live from London, with Strategies.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Merci, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante,
Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.